pray, God, let your kingdom come. Just pray. You can pray that out loud. God, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come in our families. Let your kingdom come in this neighborhood. Let your kingdom come in our church. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your kingdom come. God, that things would be as you intended them to be. God, that marriages would be as you intended them to be, as you invented them to be. God, that our health, our bodies, God, would be as you intended them to be. God, that this neighborhood would be as you intended it to be. Kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. God, we are a culture and a people just so desperately in need of you. In need of your kingdom to come. In need of you to have your way. In need of your rule and reign. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this place this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. What's that? Okay. Hey, take 10 seconds to shake somebody's hand. All introverts shrink back and hide. But take 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
My friends don't shake hands.
Brothers,
friends hug.
All right. Yeah. All right.
I've asked someone to come by the house and straighten you out.
Gee, Dad, you really didn't have to go to all that trouble.
Who is it?
His name is Matt Foley, and he's a motivational speaker. Now, he's been downstairs in the den eating no-dos for about 4 hours. Hey, Matt, come on up. We're ready for you.
Thanks, Dad. I'll take it from here. Now, as your father told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Before I begin, I ought to tell you a little about myself so you'll know where I'm coming from. First off, I am 35 years old. I am thrice divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. Young man, let me begin with an obvious question. Who threw the egg?
I don't know, but I can tell you what you had for lunch, a chili dog. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, that and a nickel get you a hot cup, a jack squat. Young lady, you want to throw in your 2 cents?
No.
Anybody? On the silent treatment, huh? Well, well, well. A few minutes ago, you're all as lively as a bunch of fish laughing and giggling, throwing eggs around like a short order cook at a truck stop. Hey, man, look at me go. I'm throwing eggs. I'm the egg man. Goo, goo, ga-choo. That's all right. You kids are having a ball. Yeah. That's funny. Well, get over it. Now, what, may I ask, did you hope to accomplish by these shenanigans?
Well, my personal goal, man, was to get the eggs onto the side of the house.
Well, the jokes keep on coming. Help me out, young fella. I can't see real good. Is that Bob Hope over there? You keep it up, pal. There's a big future in it. See, this reminds me of a spooky Halloween story. Dad, that's your cue. Once there was a boy who liked to throw things. He started out throwing eggs. Then he threw the big game. Then he threw back a shot of whiskey. Then he threw up. Then he got thrown out of the house. And then he moved into a van down by the river.
Man rights.
Hey, Matt, we were just having some fun.
So you had fun. How do you think the eggs felt? Hey, let's find out. I'll be you, and you be the eggs. How about that? Hey, look at this. I'm going to throw some eggs around. Look at me go here.
All right, Matt, I think you made your point.
Dad, I wish you'd sincerely do everyone a great service and clam up! Now, as I see it, there is only one solution, and that is for me to transform this collection of hooligans into a first-class cleanup crew. Don't worry, kids, we'll still have Halloween fun. Who needs taffy apples when you got soapy water and a little elbow grease? Everybody grab a bucket. I'll get it. Don't worry about a thing. Trick or treat. Oh, my God. My God. Hot butt. Don't worry about a thing. Old Matt's got it under control. Looks like Fido had a little hand in this.
All right. Well, this... Classic. Never gets old. This morning we're talking about how to succeed at just about anything. And so I thought, why not have the ultimate motivational speaker come and inspire everyone to stop throwing eggs at the houses, right? And so I want to talk about that. I know it sounds kind of like... I won't say who said it this morning, but I know the title sounds a little like clickbait. But it's not. We're talking about succeeding at things, right? And I believe that God wants us to succeed. And if you look through Scripture, you will find many different places where God is showing us and saying, this is how you can succeed. I want you to succeed. I want your plans to go well. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, hey, really super quick. Let's put up our mission statement. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what the church is about. That's what we're all about. When we do that, that is our success statement, you might even say, right? When we are loving each other, when we're loving Jesus, when we're growing in Jesus, and we're going, we're serving our community and serving each other, that's a picture of what it looks like for the church to succeed. Okay, and this morning we're starting a two-part series called How to Succeed at Just About Anything, and we're going to look at a couple of often overlooked but biblical keys at succeeding, okay? And we live in a culture that is kind of driven by success, right? And I think our culture tends to place different pictures and ideas of success, you know, like you're successful if you earn so many dollars a week, you're successful if you... physically fit, or you have a successful business, or whatever, and we have this culture that just loves success. We have success culture, success coaches, right? There's loads of books on the subject of succeeding. I'm sure if you went on Amazon right now and typed in success. You would just get pages and pages and pages of book titles, coming back at you. There are people that are willing to pay $900 to $3,000 just to attend a one-day Tony Robbins seminar. Can you believe $3,000 to attend a seminar and then walk on coals at the end of it. Walk on hot coals. Has anybody ever been to a Tony Robbins seminar? No? Oh, okay. Whew. Because, like I was going to say, if you can afford that, you need to be tithing. But $3,000 for one day, it's crazy. The irony is this. There's this incredible irony about all of the information about success that's available to us. The irony is that despite all of that information out there on the topic of success, 92% of people never reach the goals that they set for themselves at the beginning of the year. You know, does anybody here have any unfulfilled New Year's resolutions? You know, the rest of you are just lying or not paying attention. And, I mean, we set resolutions, and oftentimes they don't get met. We set resolutions to, you know, start that business, read X amount of books, lose X amount of dollars. 92% of the goals that we set at the beginning of the year are never fulfilled, despite the fact that we have more information on succeeding at those things than ever before. And somehow, there's this frustrating disconnect between what we want to accomplish in life and actually accomplishing it, right? And I think if we went through the room right now, we'd be, you know, every one of us would be able to say, yes, I want to accomplish this in my life, or I want to accomplish that, and I've wanted to accomplish it for years, and it hasn't happened. And so there's just this disconnect between what we want to succeed in and actually succeeding in it. And so I remember a couple of years ago, I had a corporate job. And if anybody here has ever had, like, a corporate job, maybe for a business of, like, you know, 10,000 employees or more. Has anybody had one of those kind of corporate jobs? You worked maybe for AT&T, or you worked for Alcoa, or you worked for, you know, a big corporation. I worked for a corporation that had 14,000 employees. And what it was an outsourcing firm where we handled employee benefits for large corporations. And so the team I worked for handled all the employee benefits for Verizon. And so it's huge. So we had many, many, many people calling in all day long. And I don't know, there's something about Verizon employees were especially grumpy when they called in. And they talked to me, who, you know, I'm just not into that, right? And but it was this massive corporation. And every morning they put out donuts. On every floor of every building, there was a plexiglass box that they reloaded every morning with donuts. I love donuts. Donuts are like, I don't know whether they were made in heaven and sent down here or made in hell. Either way, okay, I just. And on top of that, they provided lunch. So I never had to pack a lunch, and it was like, and you went through, and every day it was something different. They would make lasagna or whatever, and it was like a buffet, literally. It was like going to Golden Corral every day for lunch. And it was nice, but I gained 20 pounds, 20 pounds working there, and every day, and I gained 20 pounds. And I struggled so hard to keep from gaining more, you know. And I'd be like, okay, I'm only going to eat donuts on Fridays now. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, because every time you had to get up to use the bathroom, you walked past, like, this big old pastry box. And I am such a sucker for the Boston cream. You know what I'm saying? Chocolate on the top, stuffed with custard. Oh, and they were always in there. And so I gained 20 pounds, and it was so hard just to keep from gaining more. And when I left the company, I lost 10 pounds pretty quickly. It was just, hey, no more of, you know, eating like that every day. But I spent more, it took me more than 10 years to lose the other 10 pounds because I just kept failing at it, you know. I didn't have the willpower, I didn't, whatever. And so it took me almost 10 years to lose the second 10 pounds. And so no matter how badly I wanted it, and no matter how discouraged I got when I stepped on the scale, I just couldn't seem to reach my weight goal. I just couldn't do it. And maybe you've been there before. I don't know if you've ever been there before where it's just like, I want to. So, like, the desire is there. And you step on the scale and you think, today I'm going to be disciplined. Today it's going to happen. Today, tomorrow I'm going to get on the scale and I'm going to be a pound. Ooh, donuts. You know, and it's just like, maybe you've been there. Oh, gosh, it's so frustrating trying to reach your goal and then not hitting it. And or maybe you just tried to get out of debt. Maybe debt was the thing that was just sort of looming over you. And you're like, oh, I want to get out of debt so bad. Oh, it's going to feel so good when I cut up my credit card and they're having a sale, you know. And it's just, you just weren't able to do it. Or maybe you tried to quit smoking, you know, and it's just like every time you just, oh, you can go like 8, 9, 10 days, and on that like 11th day, you cave, you know, you give in. And it's just so hard, you know. Or maybe you tried to start a business or get a degree or whatever, and you just couldn't quite make it. You know, some people that I know, they're like, they want to start a business, whatever, and they run out, and they actually get the like business cards printed out. And it's like, hey, I got somebody working on a website for me. I got my business cards printed out. And then I run into them again in like 3 or 4 months. And like, how's everything going? They're like, it's not right. Yeah, I just kind of stalled out, you know. It's just not really happening. And it's just so difficult, right? Or maybe you're just somebody who you just want to change and you want to grow as a human being, and you maybe want to read more books or whatever, and you find yourself just frustrated instead. You know, I want to, the desire is there, the dream is there, but I just can't get there. And so I believe that God's word has some things to say about succeeding, and success is important to God. And I know that sometimes this idea that, you know, talking about success almost sounds like some sort of, you know, weird mumbo jumbo secular motivational thing. And really, when we look at succeeding and we look at what God's word says, God really wants us to succeed. God really wants you to be healthy and to lose that weight that you want to lose. God really wants your business to flourish, because he wants kingdom people in the marketplace making a difference in our culture. And, you know, God really, really wants you to, you know, to give up that vice or give up that habit that you are struggling to give up, you know. God really, really wants you to succeed. And so what in the world does God's word say about all this, okay? What does God say about succeeding in just about anything? And, you know, we need much better advice than just go for it, right? You ever share your dream with somebody and they're like, go for it? You're like, well, that's all I needed, thanks. You know, I just needed somebody to tell me to go for it, right? You know, or hey, believe in your dreams, you know, or hang in there. You got the cat motivational poster hanging on something, right? That's all you need. I wish that were true. If all it took was having some sort of, you know, like cliched motivational poster hanging in your office or hanging somewhere or on your refrigerator. If that's all you needed, all of us here would be like all healthy and happy and successful and all those things. But unfortunately, it takes more than that. And so what does God's word say? We're gonna read, like, pull apart one little scripture today, but let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we ask that you would cause your word to come alive in us today, that your word would be transformational, that you would transform us, Lord, that you would give us insight into succeeding in the things that we plan. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at one little scripture today, and it's so funny because sometimes when we read the Bible, it's so easy to, like, just read through, and it just sort of go, it's not really sinking in, we're not really getting it, we're not really, you know, we're just kind of reading it, and then we're going, I feel really good because I read my Bible today, right? But God wants so much more. He wants his word to actually make sense to us and change us and change the way that we live. And so we're going to start off by taking a look at one verse. It's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Simple scripture. It sounds kind of almost like if you read it too quickly, if you don't stop to look at it, it almost sounds like a cliched motivational poster. But there's so much power in this verse. We just have to unpack it a little. But it says this. It says, commit your actions to the Lord. Everybody say actions. Yeah, commit your actions to the Lord. And your plans, everybody say plans. Yes, and your plans will succeed. And so if you remember one thing this morning, just one thing, if you remember one thing, it's this. Success is reached through God-inspired plans. Success is reached through God-inspired plans. All right? Let's unpack that a little bit. Success in any area requires a plan. Right? And now how many times do we have a desire? Do we have a longing? Do we have a dream? Do we want something with everything that's in us, but we don't ever really stop to make a plan? It takes a plan to succeed. It's not just about wanting it. And sometimes, you know, you hear people like, oh, they want it so bad. They want it, you know. But, you know, it takes a whole lot more than just wanting it. All right? And so it requires a plan. Notice that Proverbs doesn't say, commit your actions to the Lord and your dreams will succeed. It does not say that. It doesn't say, commit your actions to the Lord and your desires will succeed. Your dreams will succeed. No, it says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. The old saying is true, right? And maybe you saw this hanging on your wall in your grade school growing up. But the old saying is true that failure to plan is planning to fail, right? When we don't make a plan, we fail. I remember one time I wanted to build a bookshelf so bad. I was like, oh, I want to make a, it's going to be an awesome bookshelf. I'm going to go up in the garage. The first thing I need to do in order to build this bookshelf is I need to run out to Menards and buy some wood. So you guys can see already how I've already screwed up the bookshelf because I forgot something, right? What did I forget? The plan. Measure it. Right, to measure it and to make a plan. And I wanted to build this bookshelf that had two shelves and then like two other shelves underneath, and I would hang it on the wall above my desk so that I would have this open space to work and have a shelf here, a shelf here, shelf here, shelf here. And so I went out and I got all the wood and I somehow managed to assemble it with some metal like brackets and, you know, screwing it together. And then I realized this sucker isn't going to work at all. At all. And so what I ended up doing, because what I did is I made it humongous. It was way too big. It was massive, and I had to cut off the two little bottom shelves, and then they actually became the feet for this thing because it was so massive. It ended up sitting on the floor. I completely screwed up this bookshelf because I didn't have a plan. I just ran out and got wood, right? Started cutting it and assembling it and all that stuff. But if you want to succeed at something, you've got to have a plan. And let me just take this up to beyond just a plan, all right? So this may or may not be a mind blower for you. But if you want to succeed at something, you have to have a written plan. So let me just get really super practical here. You got to put pen to paper. You have to have a written plan. Did you know that you are 42% more likely to succeed at reaching your goals if you write them down? That's it. I mean, just that one little action. You're like, I got like tons of goals. And I know people, you know, with tons of goals, right? But if you just simply, the action, it activates something in your brain. I don't know why. It's just the way that God made us. It activates something in your brain that when you just simply write your goals down, you are 42% more likely to reach your goal than if you just kept the goal up here. Something about writing it down. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy how God made us? But if you write it down, okay? So, write it down. Imagine how much greater your chances of success are when you write your goal and you write a plan. I talked about this a few weeks back. You know, it was my dream for years. I spent 3 years working on it to write and publish a book, right? Oh, just working on it, I don't know, I'd kind of start, I'd stop, or whatever, I had this dream. And then one day I just thought, I'm going to write out a plan for writing and publishing this book, and within like, 9 months, I had it done. Right there, okay? It's on Amazon right now. But that never would have happened if I wouldn't have written out a plan and then periodically went back and looked at my plan and reread my plan, all right? When we write things down, we have a much greater chance of actually getting them done. Anything short of writing out a plan is wishful thinking. It is. Right? So if you have this desire, you have this longing, and you have this goal, if you don't write it down and write out a plan, it's really just wishful thinking. Goals, you know, without a plan are just dreams. You'll just end up living in a van down by the river. I'll just say it right now. Maybe not, but still. All right? And so how do we come up with and how do we execute a God-inspired plan? How do we do that? Well, the first thing is this. Humble yourself and seek the Lord. Humble yourself and seek the Lord. You know, the best plans, if you've ever like trying to come up with a plan, the best plans come when we just be still before God and we say, God, okay, God, speak to me. God, lead me. Let your word guide me. Humble yourself and seek the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. He will lift you up in honor. And so we humble ourselves by agreeing to pursue the success, to pursue our goals, God's way. God's way. Okay? Because there is our way, our own creativity, our own desires, our own plans. But you know what? God is so much better at planning because God sees things from a broader perspective than we do. Wouldn't you rather have God's perspective on your goals, on your dreams, than your perspective? Okay, so you humble yourself and seek the Lord. A lot of people try to pursue success in business by doing things like working so many hours that they don't have time for prayer and worship. Like, I really want to succeed, so I'm going to deny myself my relationship with God, my relationship with my church family, and all those things, and instead, I'm going to spend that time hustling and working. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. That's not putting God first. So a lot of times what we do is we don't put God first in our plans. We don't put God first. And we think that it's all about hustle and sweat and working harder. And that's really not God's desire. Now, does God want you to work hard? Yes, he does. Right? But does he want you to work so hard that you forget what your kids' faces look like? No, he doesn't. Does he want you to work so hard that you don't remember the names of the people in your church family? No, he doesn't. Okay? And so a lot of times people will neglect things that are more important in order to hustle. But that's not committing our actions to the Lord. Okay? That's putting God on the back burner while we hustle for more money. And that's not God's way of success. If we want to experience God's blessing in any area of our lives, then we have to humbly commit to living out that area God's way. Right? And so that's really important. And I know that's really hard because it's almost like who do we trust the most? Ourselves, right? Who do we trust the most? Ourselves. And so, well, like, since I can't count on anybody else and I can't really see God, I don't know where he is in all this, I'm just going to go ahead and hustle. And so we have to do it God's way. Humbly commit to living out God's way. And so the truth is God knows exactly how you can reach your success. God knows exactly how you're going to lose that last 10 pounds. God knows exactly how you can give up that vice. God knows exactly how you can succeed in that business. God knows. He knows. So, humbly pursue him. Humbly pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you and him together make a step-by-step plan for how you're going to reach your goal. All right? Is everybody following me so far this morning? Anybody feeling inspired to succeed? Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's nice. All right. Success in hydration. Okay. So the next thing is this. Allow God to shape you into the person you need to be in order to be successful. So this is just so important that we allow God to shape us to be the people. Because you know what? In a lot of cases, if success just was dropped in your lap right now, you weren't the kind of person that you needed to be to walk in that success, you'll probably squander that success, right? Why don't I just hand my son $1 million? What do you think would happen if I handed my son $1 million? Which one? I won't name names, but chances are we would have incredibly just massive, powerful video gaming systems in the house if I handed them $1 million, okay? Because a lot of us were like, well, if I handed my child $1 million, they would not invest it wisely or spend it wisely. They would probably be gone within 6 months, right? In fact, it's somewhere in the ballpark of 80 to 90% of people who win the lottery, it's just gone within 2 years. You know, they win $10 million or they get an insurance settlement and it's just gone within like a year or two. And you know, and we think to ourselves, well, if I had that, man, I'd set it up so that I could live off of it for the rest of my life. And chances are a lot of us would probably end up buying new cars and trying to be cool and buying our friends' cars. And we move into a house that we can't afford after a few years. And we would just kind of squander it and blow it. And so one of the reasons why a lot of us aren't walking in success is that we're not the type of people that could handle that success. And we have to let God shape us into the people that we need to be in order to be successful, right? And so for most of us, success is out there. Let's say success is over there, okay? So for most of us, success is over there, but we're over here, okay? Our health goals, our career, our relationship, our financial goals, they're out there in the distance somewhere, but we're not there yet, okay? And so there remains this gap. So there's a gap between out there and where we are. There's a chasm between where we are and where we want to be, okay? And so simply put, We haven't succeeded yet because we haven't grown into the people that have the skills, that have the knowledge, that have the character traits to cross that gap. Anybody here ever watch Shark Tank? Yeah, it was crazy. Well, I was watching a Shark Tank episode yesterday because it was a beautiful Saturday of sitting on the couch watching TV. I loved it. And that's how I become successful. But I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching Shark Tank, and they have these three guys on there, and they're pitching this product, and it's basically like a massive moist towelette that you wipe yourself down in if you don't have time to take a shower. So I thought it was kind of gross, taking a bath in a giant baby wipe, but they go, and they're pitching it to the sharks, and every time the sharks would ask them a question about their gross profit, their net profit, their financials, they didn't know how to answer it. And they would just kind of repeat themselves, and you could tell they didn't quite get the questions. And the shark said, look, we can't offer you a deal if you aren't at the place where you know how to run a business. And so they didn't succeed in that. They didn't get offered a deal because they weren't in that place. They hadn't grown yet to the place where they knew what they were doing in running a business. And so a lot of us, we need to grow so that we can cross that gap. We need to grow into having those skills and the knowledge and the character traits to cross the gap. Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Right? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So if you want to grow, if you want to succeed, you need to stop and you need to get some wisdom and you need to grow into that kind of person. You know, you need to go down to Blackhawk and take their small business program. You know, it's like a dozen classes or whatever, just so that you can learn about things like LLCs and S-Corps and all those things. You got to learn and grow to become the kind of person you need to be to walk in that success. Okay, otherwise, you're what? You're frustrated. Okay? You're just frustrated. And so we need to get wisdom. So if you want to start succeeding, then start growing. I remember I was talking to a youth pastor once years ago when I was a youth pastor out in Connecticut, actually, when Ian was in my youth group years ago. And I was talking to a youth pastor, and he was sharing with me that he had some frustrations in growing his youth group, and he didn't quite know, whatever. And I asked him straight up, I just said, so what books are you reading? Right? Makes sense. And he goes, I'm really not into reading. Okay, so you have a desire, because here's what a lot of us want. We want that one sentence soundbite that's going to change your life, right? You ever have people ask you questions and you're like, dude, that's a 5-hour answer. Why are you standing here asking me a question as if I can answer that? You know, and I had another guy who wanted to plant a church. And he said, how did you plant your church? And I'm like, let me recommend a couple of books. right? Yeah. Let me recommend a couple of books to you, because that's not a question I can just answer to you in one or two sentences. And literally he said, can you just summarize them for me? I'm not much of a reader. And I just thought, listen, if you're not willing to do the work that it takes to grow, you're not going to see the success you want. If you're not willing to become the person that you need to be to walk in that success, then all you're going to have is just dreams. All it is for you is just daydreams and imaginations and frustration. All right? We have to be willing to let God shape us into the person we need to be in order to be successful, okay? If we want to start succeeding, we need to start growing, okay? That might be taking a class. If you want to start a business, you might need to read a book on health. If you have health goals, you might need to seek out a life coach. If you feel stuck in different areas of your life, you will definitely need to spend time in God's presence and let the Holy Spirit change you to become the person that you need to be. That's so important. That should have been my main point. Okay? The last thing is this. When you've humbled yourself before God, when you've come up with a Holy Spirit-inspired action plan, and you've begun to grow, then you need to start taking action. Right? It's doing, not dreaming. It's doing, okay? Proverbs 16:3 says to commit your actions to the Lord, right? Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We need to start doing things, taking action, okay? The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single daydream. No. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And you know what? 1,000 little steps will take you much further than 2 or 3 giant leaps. Okay? I mean, I would rather than kind of go on leaps and bounds, and I know that sounds fun, and I know that sounds easier, but listen, you will get so much further towards what you desire to succeed in taking 1,000 tiny little baby steps than you will taking 2 or 3 giant leaps. All right? It's because when you're taking 1,000 little baby steps, you're still moving forward. Because it's all about moving forward. You just keep moving forward. When I mentioned earlier about the book, you know how many words a day I wrote to finish that book? 250. That's it. I wrote 2 novels at 250 words at a time. If you're not quite sure how long 250 words at a time is, 250 words is barely a paragraph. It's barely a paragraph. It's not 2 pages or 3 pages. It's not that. It's just my teeny little goal of 250 words a day. That's not even a blog post, okay? And just doing that every day and keep moving forward and keep moving forward and keep moving forward until you reach your goal, all right? It's actions. So we need to commit our actions to the Lord. So Matthew 25 says that if we're faithful with what? The little things in life. If you're faithful to do just the little things in life, to take that one class, to read that one book, if you're faithful to do the little things in life, God will bless us, right? He'll bless us with bigger things. And so success in anything, big or little, requires us to be faithful to do a lot of sometimes menial, boring tasks. All right? So you ever look at somebody, look at maybe an actor that you admire, or a singer that you really admire, or a business person. You look at somebody like Mark Cuban, you know. These are people that even though you look at their success and you think, oh, that looks so exciting and that looks so awesome and that, man, they just exploded. You know what? Truth be told, they did thousands of tiny, menial, boring things to get to the big place and succeed in the things that they wanted to do, right? And so, you know, the same thing is for your health. You know what? I haven't been able to do it in a long time because I injured my back, but I have gone back to being able to lift weights in the gym again just over the last couple weeks. And I forgot how incredibly boring it is. It is incredibly boring. It's so boring. What is the deal? Why do gyms have to play classic rock all the time? You go to the Y. I'm sorry, but Don't Fear the Reaper doesn't get you pumped up. Sorry. Okay, so You know, but it's the boring work that leads you to the great success. It's the little menial things, okay? And so entrepreneurial goals, they require boring paperwork. They really do. If you have an entrepreneurial, I'm looking at Kathy right now with this foundation that she's starting, this thing where they put people to work. I'm just kidding. It's they put disabled kids to work, you know, in a plantation. And it's a farm, and it's wonderful, and I just love the vision. But I know that she is doing hours and hours and hours of menial, boring, mind-numbing stuff to get your 501c3 and write copy for your website and to cross all your T's and dot all your lowercase J's. And so it's so menial. And but that's what you have to do. It's boring paperwork. You know, authors have to edit. Okay, people in good health have to exercise. Professionals have to take classes. Small actions are the price that we pay to reach the success we desire. They really are. Okay, a pastor I knew used to say that success requires 3 D's. Right? It's desire, discipline, and delight. Okay, we have the desire, but there still has to be that discipline to do the small things. And then once you put in the discipline, you can experience delight, right? You can experience delight. You know, when we had our first service here, I remember leading up to planting the church. So there were so many menial things. I mean, we had to meet with lawyers and help getting a 501c3 set up. We had to create a 5-year plan. We had to do a lot of stuff and still do have to do a lot of stuff that I just feel like is mind-numbing and menial. But when we had our first service here on that Sunday morning on September 18th, 2011, I just remember going, all that was worth it. Totally worth it. I didn't look out and I didn't, I wasn't worshiping with people, and I didn't get up to preach and go, oh gosh, I'm glad to see y'all, but it was just too much work. I'm really glad you're here, but that paperwork sucked. You know, that wasn't it. You know, it's completely worth it. And you have the desire, and then you have the discipline, and then you get to experience the delight of seeing that desire come to life. Success is reached through God-inspired plans. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to close with just a prayer and a challenge. And the challenge is this, and you can write it down on the back of your bulletin or do whatever, but what I want you to do is sometime over the next 24, 48 hours, if you have a goal, if you have a desire, I just want you to sit down and just write out a plan. And you know what? It doesn't even have to be a good plan. It could just be any plan at all. If you're like, well, what if it's the wrong plan? It's okay. Change the plan then later. Oh, what if I find out some different methods and I find out other things that would make the plan better? Okay, then adjust your plan. But at least have a plan that you can adjust later. Okay? And so start with a plan. Write it out somewhere. I know some of you guys have businesses in you. I know some of you guys have marathons in you. I know some of you guys have relationship goals. You have things. Maybe you have family goals. But sit down and write out a plan, even if it's just a paragraph, even if it's just 250 words, okay? Or some bullet points, you know? But write out a plan. Maybe it's a plan to improve your financial situation. Maybe it's a plan to pay down your debt. Whatever it is for you, I want you sometime over the next 48 hours to write it down. Write it down. Because the mere act of writing down that goal, even without a plan, you have a 42% greater chance of accomplishing it because you wrote it down. Okay? So I want you to do that because I want you to succeed. Listen, as your pastor, I want to see you succeeding. I want to see you succeeding at whatever you do. Okay? So write it down. Maybe it's to grow in a skill or a talent or whatever. Whatever it is for you, I want you to write it down. All right? And the other thing here is, before we wrap up, I want to pray for some of you, okay? I want to pray. I want Wendy to come and pray with me, okay? I want to pray for some of you that have been frustrated trying to achieve some form of success in your life somewhere, okay? Maybe you've been frustrated, you know, like I was, 10 years trying to lose that last 10 pounds. Or maybe you're frustrated because you have entrepreneurial dreams, but it's just frustrating, slow. It's just, You're just like, ah, right? You know, whatever it is for you, some goal, some dream, something in your life that you've been wanting to achieve and reach, but you have been frustrated, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would help you create an inspired plan where you can humbly commit your actions to the Lord, okay? And I want to pray for you. So if that's you today, if that's you, you're feeling frustrated because there's something that you've wanted to succeed in but have not been able to, just stand up with me. Just stand up, and I want to pray for you. I believe that God wants to inspire you. He wants to keep those dreams fresh in you, that He wants to help give you a plan, right? A whole Holy Spirit-inspired plan, okay? Because you can do it. You know, God has given us a means of doing it, of succeeding at it, and He wants to help you. And so if you're not standing up, would you just kind of reach over and put your hand on someone close to you? Take a look around. Maybe there's somebody just standing nearby you, and go and just put your hand on their shoulder. You can do it. That's all right. That's okay. Nobody's going to bite you. They want to help you. They want to, okay? So go ahead. Because we got people here that want to succeed at things and are frustrated, okay? And so we want to pray for you. Yeah. All right. Somebody want to go back and pray with Ian? Somebody want to go pray with Dan? Dan's got a hand on him. And pray with Karen and Ian. Yeah, let's be the body. This is what the body's all about, right? This is what church is about. So I want to pray for you. Is Dan standing or sitting? He's on a tall stool. Okay. His wife has got his hand on her. If anybody else wants to join, you can do it. All right. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come into this moment. God, I thank you because I believe that many times the dreams and desires that we have in our hearts are also your dreams and desires for us. That when we have these dreams, a lot of times that desire itself is put there and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God, help us to acknowledge that, to recognize that, to accept that. And so God, I pray for every person standing this morning that is frustrated in reaching their success, is frustrated with getting from where they are to where they want to be. God, I pray, Lord, that they, Lord, would humbly seek you for a plan and begin to write that plan down. Lord, we need your God-inspired plans because sometimes our own ideas just aren't enough. Our own self-inspiration just isn't enough. I really feel like this point that we talked about earlier today, I really feel like the Lord is saying, if you're frustrated, take some time and make some effort to grow. That man, there is books that you need to be reading. There is things that you need to be pursuing to grow. I think that's where some of the frustration point is. We get all worked up about what we're going to do, and we forget all about who we're going to be. And if we don't take some time to develop who we're going to be, we're never going to get to where we want to go. So God, I pray that you would put us on a growth journey. A growth journey, God. To be the people that we need to be in order to do the things that you would have us do. God, we pray against frustration, and I pray, Lord, that every person standing here would have a ridiculous amount of hope when it comes to the things they want to succeed in. Just obnoxious amounts of hope. Lord, fill them with hope, with faith. God, that they would be able to see in their mind's eyes them living in that success. God, instead of telling themselves that it'll never happen, instead of telling themselves they're never going to reach it, instead of telling themselves messages of defeat and negativity, instead, God, that they would be filled with hope and faith. And God, that we would be the people, God, to give you the glory. God, that when we succeed, we give you the glory. And when we walk in that fulfillment, when we reach those goals, we give you the glory. You are awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, hey, the worship team is coming back. But we'll also have a prayer team back there. And so if you would like prayer this morning, maybe you would like prayer to succeed in those things.